evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned into the Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship with Pastor Steve Whitaker. He's I think he's running a little late tonight, so my name's Terry Tackett, and as we wait for Pastor Whitaker, then we'll take care of a few things we have around here. We'll make a few announcements and give him a little time to get in here and get ready. And we'll start off by saying on Friday, March 1st, 2019, will be the 25th anniversary of Mary Ellen Withrow being a Marion native, being sworn in as the 40th Treasurer of the United States. And we will celebrate in a big way here at WWGH. That's the day we're going to Tony Paco's. So Tony Paco's on March 1st here that day. Now it is my pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hi, Terry. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
I'm doing well. There was some sunshine out there again. This is 2 weeks in a row I've seen it.
It's coming.
It's coming. Boy, it can come real quick. I hear tomorrow, they're already talking about some schools could be on delay in the morning. I'm like, wow, when is this stuff ever going to end?
Some nasty weather tomorrow, I think.
Oh, real nasty. How you been, Terry?
Been real well.
Good, good. Hey, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker. I am the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Our phone number there is 740-494-2222. You can also reach us on the web at prospectccf.com. Love to have you come anytime that you'd love to come. We'd welcome you. Our Sunday morning service is at 10:30. Prior to that, there is a Bible teaching hour for children and adults at 9:30. We have a wonderful Bible study going on now on Sunday evening that is called Don't Waste Your Life by John Piper. And we have a midweek service, just a lot of neat things going on. And tonight, of course, we got Pizza with Pastor at 6:30. And we also have Team Kid tonight at 6:30. And they're gonna, you know, I think they're going to do some fun stuff tonight, but they also have a boat regatta coming up. And you've seen the little Pinewood Derby cars?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're doing the same thing with boats, paddle wheel boats of some type. So that's kind of cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, tonight we have a special guest with us. He's been here before. His name is Clint Calvin. Clint is a dear friend. And I'm going to ask Clint to give you just a real quick synopsis of the backstory for those that are hearing for the first time and kind of bring us up to date on what the Lord's been doing and whatever's laid on your heart. And I may bump in a couple questions while we're talking. Welcome, Clint.
Thank you very much. It's wonderful to be here.
Just get as close as you can.
As the pastor said, my name's Clint Calvin. I'm a father of three. Married to my beautiful wife, Jennifer, for 15 years now. And for those who might have missed my last appearance on the show, in 2017, I crushed my face in a bicycle accident. It was called a L4-3 fracture. It was where every bone in my face from my chin to my forehead was shattered. And I had two cranial fractures as well. Some brain damage, damage to my eyes. I was messed up pretty good. Spent a significant amount of time in Grant Hospital where they, well, rebuilt me. And
we have a bionic Clint.
Yep. And so for the... for about the past 18, 19 months now, it's just been kind of one procedure after another. The initial stuff was to save my life. The things that are going on now are to go back in and repair things on a more permanent basis.
Well, Clint, you've been had some ups and downs with it. I know that when I first, shortly after the surgery, within the first 6 or 8 months, you were starting to look somewhat healed up pretty well. Your one eye came back in the socket where it needed to be, and
yes,
your face was healing up, and you even seemed to be going pretty good. And
yes,
then you had a problem in your forehead where some infection started.
Yeah.
And it began to open and expose the plate that was behind your that was in your forehead.
Yes.
So let's kind of take it from there and let them know what happened with that.
Well, when they put the original titanium mesh plate in my forehead, they had got as much as my original forehead structure back together as they could. And then that was all held together with this titanium mesh. Well, there was an area of bone that never grew back together, and that bone died. And when that bone died, it developed an infection. And that infection caused an abscess on my brain, but it also caused a hole to rot in the flesh of my forehead. And when they went, they told me that they were going to have to go in and take out that plate, because that plate was now contaminated because it had been exposed to the outside air. And then they would have to fix the hole in my skin, which was a little over the size of a quarter. I got in there for my day of surgery, and when they woke me up, they had told me that they had to remove my entire forehead from right above my eyebrows, a little more than a quarter of the way up my skull, because all that bone had become infected as well. So while healing for that, I was waiting on another surgery where they were going to install 3 expander balloons into my scalp so that they could stretch the skin on top of my head so that when they get my new forehead, they'll have extra skin to pull down over top of that, and they won't have to do a graft, because having a graft would just open me up to a greater risk of infection.
So right now you do have a forehead that's waiting on you, right?
Yes, I do.
And where is that waiting at?
It is in a cryogenic freezer at Grant Hospital. It was 3D printed out of plastic from a company out in Arizona.
So you've got it sitting there, and your expansions are coming along.
Yes.
That sounds painful.
It is. It is. The surgery for it was very painful because they made a series of incisions in the back of my head and then shoved these expander balloons in there. It's they're not like what you think of as a balloon. They're rather large on their own. The fill ports for them are about the size of a pinball ball.
Really?
Yeah.
So they're pretty big.
Yeah. So I've got all these knots on the back of my head for the fill ports, and then I've got, where they're expanding the skin, these 3 huge lumps coming out of my head now.
Well, I'll tell you, and with your cap on that you usually wear, it's not even visible.
Yes, the cap does hide it well, but it's starting to get a little tight.
Yeah. You know, you've kept a real good attitude through all this, and I know that just knowing you, and as pleasant as you seem on the outside, there's some hard days.
There are very hard days. And, you know, the only thing you can do is just take them as they come, pray, and just know that, you know, this life is but a blip on the radar. We have a wonderful eternity with our Heavenly Father waiting on us, and any minor thing that I have going on here on Earth is going to be nothing compared to the glory that we will receive when we're finally called home.
Now, let me ask a question for you, or if you don't mind. What would you say to people that would make the comment, how can a loving God do this?
God didn't do this.
Who did it?
These are just the things that happen in a fractured creation.
You're right.
God is there to help pick up the pieces. God is there to repair, restore. He paid the ultimate sacrifice for us, but unfortunately we live in a broken world where bad things happen to everybody sooner or later.
You know, Clint, and knowing your story, a lot of people might have given up. And I know that you were basically even dead at one point, weren't you?
Very close to death.
Very close to death.
Yeah, when it was after my first surgeries, I had contracted an infection in my brain, and they had to go back in and cut my skull open, and peel back the derma and wash out my brain cavity to get all that infection out of there.
Unbelievable. When I asked a few minutes ago, I said, when I asked you, what would you say to people who say that, you know, why me, why God, why has God let this? This is not the only thing that you've faced in the last year or two. And it's amazing when I look at the things, the other things you've been through. First of all, I know that your wife had a very good job.
Yes.
As a physical therapist. And I know that you had a very good job yourself. You were doing quite well.
Yes, I was.
And you've got three beautiful daughters, just wonderful
girls. Amen to that.
And they're great girls. And then all of a sudden this stuff starts happening. And not just the accident, but what are some of the other things that have happened in the last year or two?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I wasn't able to go back to work. So inadvertently, we lost our insurance. So we had to go through the state, and we were able to get Medicaid, and that's been a real blessing. It took a lot of work and a lot of filing of papers, but because of our income situation, we're now good on the insurance. My wife, she had a job for a little while last winter, but she couldn't continue with it. She ended up having to have a hip replacement here just a few weeks ago.
Kind of explain a little bit what that situation is that brings on that. I know she has a rod in her back, too, a rod or two, right?
Yeah, she's got her spine is fused from her tailbone on up the first three discs. The disc above that is now gone, and the one above that one is herniated. She has the markers for a disease called Ehlers-Danlos. That means her ligaments and the muscles around her bones are too flexible. So her bones can't stay where they need to stay, and they're not stabilized as well as they should be. So they're prone to popping in and out of socket and causing all sorts of skeletal problems.
So just a couple of weeks ago, Jennifer had a new hip.
Yes.
New hip put in. And a couple of days before she went in for that, something else happened.
Yeah. Her mom was getting out of her car and slipped on the ice and broke her ankle in two places. Had to have surgery for that.
And I'm sure she'd have been there to help Jen, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But now Barb's down for a while as well.
And then just Friday, so another thing happened.
Yesterday, my mom and my girls were going to the movie, and my mom slipped on the ice and broke her arm in three places. So
it seems that you guys aren't only having problems, the people that would help you through your problems are having problems.
Yeah, my grandmother's fighting cancer right now. My other grandmother just had a knee replacement. I guess in the grand scheme of things, it's not that bad.
I like your attitude. And really, the reason I'm asking all this isn't to be nosy. It's not to say poor Clint, because I know you don't want that.
No, not at all.
Or poor Jennifer.
Nope.
The reason I'm asking is because out here in the world we live in today, so many people would fall apart for much less.
My brother-in-law has told me many times, he goes, you know, anybody of any weaker constitution or mind would probably have gone insane by now, bud. And I just say, well, Bill, I don't like to think that, but there are days where you
wonder. There's tough days.
There are really tough days.
I'm sure of that. I've seen you on those tougher days, and I know some days are tougher than others. But there's one common glue that hold you together, hold your marriage together, your family together, and hold you together. And I want you to talk a little bit about that glue and how that has manifested itself through this time.
That glue comes from our Savior, Jesus Christ. And leaning on Him and keeping our eyes upon Jesus, we have been able to take this rough road and use it for good. You can always do something good, and we've been able to cleave to one another. We've been able to become a tighter family, a closer family. It's really been an amazing change, one that I really don't believe I would go back and change the course of.
I know this is kind of an extreme, but you know, people talk about going from rags to riches. In your case, you kind of went from riches to rags.
Yeah.
But not in that extreme.
Not
really riches and not really rags, but no. The same type thing.
We went from being extraordinarily comfortable to wondering where certain things are going to come from.
So has the simplification of that hurt you any?
None at all. It's actually made life quite a bit easier.
You know your limits.
Yeah.
To a point.
Yeah.
I wish you knew more sometimes when you ask me for things like ladders or I find out you've been swinging an axe chopping wood or something that could...
Since my last surgery, I haven't been able to do anything anywhere near that.
I know.
So we're... Yeah, but there's that spirit to work that is ingrained in humankind. And...
It's hard, isn't it?
It is hard to not take care of yourself, to be dependent on other people to do things that used to just be so simple for you.
Yes. Yeah, that would be very difficult, being waited on when you're used to waiting on others.
Yes.
And but still, one thing I can say that about you and Jennifer both is that you're still willing to help other people and be there for them when you can and still do everything you can. Actually, more than some people probably that can do a lot more. And that I think that comes from that spirit that you have through Christ in knowing that, and something you said a few minutes ago that's so important is understanding how temporary this life is and how quickly it's like a vapor.
Yes.
It just goes. There's something about turning 60 that I'll be honest with you, they talk about midlife crisis. I've been struggling with 60 really bad.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. It's not out of vanity. It's not out of dreams lost or any of that kind of stuff that people usually have. It's the fact that I'm realizing how rapidly life goes. I love life.
Yes.
I love life, and I love what God has me doing in life. And I'd like to do it another 30 or 40 years, I think. But... You know, knowing how fast it's gone lately, I've been going through some pictures because of, one, because of our move, and two, because my sister Laura that had the fire in California wanted me to get her some pictures, so I'm digging through stuff, you know. And I'm starting to look at some of these pictures that are like 40 years ago, and I'm like, man, that was yesterday. What's going on here?
Yeah.
And it's realizing how fast life goes. Makes you realize it is just a vapor.
Yes.
And what's really interesting about it is that God holds. He holds that final straw. He knows the day you came and he knows the day you're leaving.
Yep.
And there's nothing we can do to actually change that.
No.
And knowing where you're going when that's done gives you great peace.
Yes, it does. Blessed assurance, as the old hymn says.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, but a foretaste of glory divine. Yeah, I remember the old hymn. There's some good ones out there, aren't there?
Yes, there are.
Do you think that you think today that we focus a little bit too much on today and what we can grab?
I think some do. And if I could tell anybody out there just one word of advice... from somebody who was running around literally the globe with their hair on fire. Slow down. Slow down. Take a minute. Breathe.
Enjoy your family.
Enjoy. You can't take it with you.
No. You know, it's funny how we're always looking for the old saying, the grass is always greener on the other side.
Yeah.
Till you get to the other side and then you realize it wasn't. And we kind of live that way. we always have to have the latest, the newest, the brightest. And now, you know, you get to a point in your life where, hey, I just want a car that starts when I go out the door so we can go somewhere if I need to.
That would be a wonderful thing to have.
I know you're working on yours all the time. Oh, we all are.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, how do you get people to slow down? Not a hard thing to do. I know I've been preaching it for years in the pulpit. Yeah. And I tell people just, you know, you have to understand the joy of simplicity.
I think most people, myself included, you don't slow down until you get that knock upside the head. And some, I needed a pretty good knock upside the head.
Evidently.
Others get the point a little easier. But, you know, I mean, sooner or later you're going to realize that your time is finite. And you don't waste it.
You know, it's kind of funny, Clint. You're probably as active as most people that go to work every day. And unfortunately, because of your situation, you are unable to do that right now.
Yes.
But you're still really active and really busy.
Yes.
Which speaks a lot to your character. You're not laying it down around licking your wounds, so to speak.
No.
And you know, and I really feel bad for Jen because, you know, she's a young woman.
Yes.
What is she, 30?
She's 38.
38 years old and having all these bone issues and whatnot. But yet, she's active too. I mean,
oh, yeah, she's unstoppable.
You got to hold her down.
Yeah,
and,
you do.
You know, that's a great thing. But it's interesting that we think we need so much that we're running all the time chasing it.
Yes.
But in the last couple of years, you've been reduced to 90% of the time being at home.
Yeah.
Along with Jennifer.
Yes.
And the girls. And most of what you need is, you know, you've become very simplistic in that.
Very.
And you've found that you can live life just fine without all the running, huh?
Oh, I... You know, yes. I prefer to kind of just... I like being home. I like going to the church activities. I like doing stuff with the kids. You know, just in not big flashy things, but it's just the little stuff. The preservation parks throughout the summer have this wonderful scavenger hunt. Mm-hmm. And it's through 8 or 9 different parks that you go through, and they give you a map with clues. And you got to find this little pencil box with a stamp, and you stamp your book for that day. That didn't cost us anything but a little bit of gas money. But my kids had the greatest time going and doing that. And I get to identify all the different trees that are through the woods and the different birds that we would see. And
I mean, I know over at the park over on Buttermilk Hill in Delaware County, northern Delaware County, before you get down to where the state park is, they have a massive sledding hill.
Yes, they sure do.
Isn't that great?
That is
now, right
neat.
Now, I wouldn't suggest you get on it, Clint.
No.
And definitely no one be in front of you, right? But no, I mean, these things, you're right, these things are free and they're so simple.
Yeah.
It's even like bringing the kids to Team Kid at the church.
Yeah, that's something.
All parents got to do is drop them off.
Drop them off. Let them play.
And they have a great time.
Yeah.
And
they get to learn a little something about the Lord. They get to have a good time. There's always snacks.
We have a
great time at Team Kid.
And, you know, there's, I really wish some, I wish sometimes we could, in this day and age, that we could grasp simplicity without, like you said, getting hit upside the head to make it happen.
Yes.
Because most of us don't.
I wish it was teachable.
You remember the song Cats in the Cradle?
Yeah, Harry Chapin.
Good song.
Yeah.
About that very thing.
He spells it out really well.
Yeah, and that was, what, 40 years ago? And no one listened, did they? I mean, because it's true, you know, when you're going to come home, Dad?
Yeah.
You know, Dad's not coming home, he's working.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when you're coming over, son, well, Dad, now I'm working. And, you know,
We
pass that on to our kids, and we pass that busyness. We can do so much to help people without that, too.
Yeah.
Just random acts of kindness that we can do for people that need it. It's just so important. Reaching out to those people that nobody ever hugs.
Yeah.
I know that Mrs. Poling at the church, bless her heart, Terry, this lady has such debilitating arthritis. She's had it since she was probably 20 or younger. And she's about 80 now. And she just, her hands don't work and she shuffles and can't do much for herself. But she told me one day, I said, I'd hug you, but you're too brittle. And she said, oh, no, no, please. She said, you hug me anyway because I need them badly and no one ever hugs me. Now think about that. That's the simplicity of someone just wanting a hug.
Yeah.
And we run and we chase and we run and we chase and we don't slow down.
You know, she almost reminds me a little bit, not in the physical sense, but of Elijah and Elisha. And I wish someone...
In what form?
I wish that somebody could get a double portion of her spirit.
Yeah.
Because that woman is a prayer warrior. I mean, even though she's pretty well, you know, crippled up.
Debilitated.
She calls people. She sends cards. I mean, she's got a list of people that she prays for every day. I mean, it's not always about doing the coat drive and the street corners and out in the open, you know. They're God's people come in so many different shapes and sizes, and all of the jobs that God assigns are important. And Pam is living proof of that.
One thing real interesting, as you go through Scripture and you see the people that God really used in great ways, most of them came out of obscurity.
And most of them were, even by yesterday's standard to today's standard, quite odd.
Quite odd.
Yeah.
In one way or another.
Moses stuttered. You know, John the Baptist, that wild man, wearing camel's hair and a big leather belt, eating honey and locusts.
How about the little tax collector in the tree?
Zacchaeus. Yeah, he was a wee little man.
Paul, they talk about the Apostle Paul. Yeah. He was nothing to look at.
No.
You go on and on and on that way. Well, look, you know, his disciples, you know, several being fishermen, I'm sure they didn't smell the best.
No.
Of course, I don't know if anyone smelled the best at that time.
No, but fishermen in those days, a lot like today, they were rough. Rough Absolutely. Around the edges.
So God chose to use them.
Yes.
Why do you think that might be? I'm going somewhere with this.
Yeah. I believe he says he came to save the sinner, not the saint.
I think that a lot of it is humility.
Humility.
You remember the story of the rich young ruler?
Yeah.
Rich young ruler, what must I do to be saved? You know, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And he said, he went away sad.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it. And you take somebody that's a little different, maybe doesn't quite blend in with everyone else. I think they follow easier the right thing than somebody that's caught up in how they look, how they perform. They've got a standard to meet all the time. Everyone, they got to make sure they're what everyone expects them to be.
Yeah. I think a lot of it too is with self-made people is that, well, I did this on my own. Why do I need a God?
It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to inherit the kingdom of God. And the meaning behind that is, hey, look, I did it. I do it. You know, it's that pride factor. It's that self-confidence factor. It's look at me, what I've done, and it's very hard. God wants you to humble yourself to him.
Yes.
And that's one of the big things, I think, Clint, that we see in the world today that's so difficult. In our study that we were doing last Sunday night on Don't Waste Your Life, we was talking about, you know, what we're supposed to do. We are here to glorify God, not to do things to please ourselves.
Yes.
The outcome of that turns out to be that we do both at the same time.
By glorifying God, he blesses us.
And he blesses us.
We become a blessing to others, and the cycle continues.
Continues. But when we go out to glorify ourselves, we don't get his blessing.
No.
and we end up with a cheap replica of what we're looking for.
Yes.
You know, that doesn't hold up. We end up with a boat that won't hold water. And there's so much of that in our society today. And I know you and I on the way in here tonight were talking about, what do we do to get people to finally wake up and say, wait a minute, what did God want us to do?
Yeah.
Why did God put me here? You know, rather than I think this and I think that and my feelings are this and my feelings are that.
How bad does it have to get before you wake up?
I don't know. We've seen civilizations come and go.
We certainly have.
And we don't seem to be learning from history.
Yeah, no, because they don't teach it. At least there's a new reformed version of it. And those who refuse to learn from history, they are destined to repeat it. And our civilization is no different than any that's ever been on this planet.
No.
You know, the Roman Empire was one of the greatest civilizations of all time. And where are they?
Well, they lost their morals and they lost their country.
Yeah.
And we've seen that repeated over and over again in so many civilizations throughout history.
Yeah.
And we don't rebuild overnight.
No.
You know, Stalin, was it Joseph Stalin that said that, you know, they don't need to have a war with us, that if, you know, after 20, 40, 50 years of changing our culture through our youth, that they could just walk in. And you see that coming.
You do.
You know, we see young people now screaming for socialism, and they don't even understand what socialism is.
No.
They've seen misinterpretations of it, and they've seen the glorification of it. I think sometimes people misunderstand the difference between social welfare and socialism.
Yes.
We can have social welfare without socialism.
Yeah, and we have that system in place. A safety net for those who have fallen on hard times.
Like you.
Yeah, and need a hand up, you know.
But socialism is completely different.
You know,
that's where the only ones that have anything in the end are the ones at the top administering the socialism.
Yes.
And then everyone else is just plain poor.
Yeah.
Very poor.
I grew up in the 1980s during the Cold War. I remember seeing the news and the conditions in which people and the former Soviet Union lived. I mean, why do you think they had to build a wall to keep them all in? I mean, because they wanted out. But whenever anybody would run towards that wall, they'd gun them down.
Yeah, there was not a wall to keep people out. That wall was to keep
people in. Yeah.
And you're right.
And, you know, the former Soviet Union, it crushed under its own weight. You can't have a bus factory that builds buses to where the bus drives down the road, gets dismantled to be turned into a tank. I mean, that's a circular economy, and they don't work. Because sooner or later, new capital, new money has to be injected into the system. And when you don't really export anything, and, you know, the majority of your country is frozen, so you're not really growing anything, that makes you more of a consumer.
Like we have become in the last 20 or 30 years.
We have become very much a consumer country. And I think within the next 10 to 20 years, if we don't really get a handle on this, we're going to see some trouble.
Ah, we're already seeing it. I was in a meeting the other day with some people in Delaware County that were talking about the direction of the youth and some different programs, trying to get them to learn more hands-on skills and to be skilled laborers, because their greatest fear is that in the next 10 years, we're going to be completely out of laborers and skilled laborers.
Tradesmen,
yeah. They're gone. They're leaving. Everyone that is going to school to do anything, they want to be in management or IT or something of that nature. And young kids aren't being mentored by fathers and grandfathers anymore how to do anything or
the
physical side of it. And unfortunately, I know that I was part of that workforce in my younger years, hard workforce, mm-hmm. construction workforce. And in the 80s, in the late 80s, all of a sudden, for some reason, the construction trades started rolling over, and the labor end of it, not the skilled labor necessarily, but the labor end of it, was being drastically replaced by people from South America, and they were willing to work for a lower wage, and the companies were hiring them, and then before you knew it, they worked so hard and wanted and were willing, they'd always worked hard just to live.
Yes.
And they worked so hard that all of a sudden, it was only like a five-year period. It's like, hey, everybody here is Latino. You know, all the bricklayers, blocklayers, framers, masons, you know, you might have a couple lead guys that weren't. But then eventually, nowadays, you go out and almost roofing crews, everyone, they're almost all South American. And they're still willing to work those long hours. But our workforce in America, I'm not sure where they went or what they're doing. Our population hasn't decreased that much.
No.
So where are all those 20 to 40-year-old guys at that were filling that workforce?
I was going to say, I see that every day. I work at the Home Depot down there on Twitter. Every day I see that.
Yeah. The crews coming in.
Yep. Yep.
So where are these 20 to 40-year-old guys, Terry?
Well, I was going to touch on that just for a minute, Pastor. There's a guy that comes in that he's affiliated with a large electric company around there. I'm not sure what he does, like a lot of residential electric and stuff. And every single day he comes in there, the first thing he says, I tease him first thing in the morning because he always comes in. He says, please find me an apprentice. He goes, I'll pay him $50,000, $60,000. He said, I can't get nobody.
So where are they?
That's what he said. He said, I've tried everything. He said, I can't get anybody.
Can I give you a hint? A lot of them just plain aren't working.
Yeah.
They're still living at home. So, and they're not working.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand
But at the same token, too, I've seen that kind of be a double-edged sword in the fact that I say this. As people that want these jobs done, it's like a double-edged sword. They want them done as cheap as possible. And you as a business owner, of course, have to cut your labor costs. So you want to hire you want to hire these tradesmen and stuff, but are you afraid to lose this job and maybe not get no other job? You see, if you hire these, I mean, so you're kind of forced to.
Terry, we're expecting too much.
You know, I say that only because, like I say, I've heard these people. You know, they want tiling jobs done for next, and they, you know, so like I say, if you want to continue to, you know, you got to make some cuts. You know,
right before our housing collapse. I remember that George Bush, the president, was giving a State of the Union speech. Yeah. And in that speech, and I can't remember verbatim, one of the statements he made that housing ownership was at an all-time high. And he was right. Mm-hmm. However, the reason it was, they were writing loans to anyone that showed up, whether they could afford a house or not.
You could have a $30,000 a year job and get a $300,000
exactly.
House.
Exactly. Yeah.
So who cares even if though you eat tomorrow, but
yeah. you know, even though that was a talking point for him, it wasn't exactly a healthy situation.
No.
And part of the thing that we're seeing today is what people are expecting and think they have to make. And it's just it's unbelievable what people believe they have the money to survive on.
It's called, what I've seen, it's called entitlement. They think they're entitled to that.
Yeah. Why would I move out of mom and dad's 4,800 square foot house into a one bedroom apartment and work my head off just to.
Yeah.
Because we were brought up with something that
because
we had.
They just built a separate door for me to come. I could come right in and go.
Yeah.
Right down, you know,
yeah.
We were brought up. Now, my mom came right out and told me, you know, I'd lost my dad when he was killed when I was relatively young.
Yeah.
And mom knew what money she had and didn't have. And she said, I got to tell you, she said, the day you graduate from high school, either you go to college so I can keep getting some Social Security from your dad's Social Security. But if you don't go, there's the door. I can't feed you. And she wasn't lying.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it had to be. And parents back then, look, when you became of age, you went to work, you made some of yourself.
Yeah.
I always thought it was a cool thing to start out and try to make ends meet.
Yeah.
You know, to start out with nothing and, you know, go to the thrift stores to get food and clothing, not food, but get clothing and dishes and whatnot and put things together. I remember my first end tables I made out of two wine boxes that had sliding lids on the top. And just things of that nature. I remember people used to make tables out of cable pools.
Yeah.
Spools. Remember those cable spool tables?
Yeah, my old babysitter had one. That was awesome.
But you know, the point, people did what they had to do. And just like with you, Clint, you know, back to that a minute, you know, you're living on probably a quarter of what you were living on 3 years ago.
Oh, if that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, are you living?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very happy.
Are you getting enough to eat?
Yes, I am.
Is your family closer or not?
We are closer.
Your family's closer.
Oh, yeah.
Do you still have friends?
Yeah.
Good. Does God still love you?
Oh, yes.
All right. Are you? Is there anything that you really, really, really are missing? Other than being able to just go out and play football with the kids.
Yeah. I'd say nothing monetary.
Nothing monetary. Right, right.
Yeah, nothing monetary.
You need your physical health back, and it's coming. It is coming.
Yeah.
But you both do. But my point being, living on a quarter of what he made 3 years ago, and he's doing just as well in that way. Now, what does that tell you? It tells you there's so much fat out there and wasting, and the fat in our budgets and fat in what we do, and you know, it's a tough one for me to swallow. When I hear people complaining too hard about wages, you know, I know what I live on, and I know what you can live on. And you take a young couple first getting married, they can go out all day long and get a $15 an hour job. They're everywhere. And if you got two young people getting $15 an hour, you add that together, that's 30.
There was a lady at Home Depot the other day screaming that Honda needs people directly through Honda.
That $30 an hour equates to about $4,800 a month. Now, tack on it. Are you telling me you can't live on that? You know, and the point is, you can.
You definitely can.
Yeah.
And
you definitely can.
I'm just thrilled, Clint, that you're doing better. Great to have your spirit around. I just pray the Lord keeps his hand on you and your health and your life. And it's just such a blessing to talk to someone that I hear so much woe is me out there. And it's so nice to hear someone. I hear woe is me from people that are totally able-bodied. And it just drives me crazy. I guess nobody knows how can't. If you hit rock bottom, you have a tendency to get up.
Yeah.
And I think that we've cushioned the hole too much.
Yeah.
And there's too many people that never hit rock bottom, so they never get back up. And anyways, blessing to have you. We'll have you back again when you're all healthy and ready to play football.
Sounds great.
And, God bless you. Hey, everyone, it's been a good evening tonight. I really do. I want to encourage you to, you know, get your kids in church. They need it. I mean, I don't understand why parents feel that that's not a necessity today. There's so much wrong out there. Can we just expose them to some good?
Amen.
You know what? You know, they watch stuff on TV that I blush over. And you know, our churches are safe. Where make sure you find the right church.
Yeah.
You know, a church where people believe the Word of God and they teach it,
and
they love God. That's what's important. Not how loud they are, how great they sound, or any of that. It's what are they teaching your kids? Are they teaching your kids to put others before themselves? And that's so important. And
unplug your TV, talk to your kids, play games, read them a book.
Last question, Clint, real quick.
Yeah.
Where would you be without the church when you were injured? Has your church family come and helped you at all?
Yeah, we would probably not have our home.
Okay. And that just tells you, right, that, you know, look, people in the church, they love you, and they take care of you. I don't understand why more people just don't plug in. Folks, plug in. We're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, 740-494-2222. Call me. If I'm not there, leave a message. I will get back to you. God bless you guys. I love you, and good night. Night, Clint.
Good night.